We are not sure that we will be able to tackle all the issues of thousands of years of cartography in half an hour this morning, and I'm not sure that it's possible for us to do it with a lot of time. So we will maybe more discuss some a few little issues that has surfaced when Kathleen and Ronnie and Jan came with very practical questions and trivial questions about cartography at first. And maybe to start, this is it's a video. Yes, this is a small part of Atelier Cartographique. Here on a roof in Brussels, testing how balloon could help to, let's say, to do our own data or a very tiny part of data, to try to not hang completely, at least, on data produced by others. In this case, it's a test data of a small part of a forest. And so you see Nina here, who has a background of music and mathematics and teacher in prison, and Julie, who practice illustration and geography, and some other people that were helping. We are seven in now currently. There's also Marine, who is the only one with a PhD. I don't even know exactly on urban design or yes. Urban planning or both.
Urban design.
Urban design. There is Pierre. There is two Pierre. Pierre, who has been in art school for only 3 months, and after Garde Forestier, I don't know in English, and developer mainly as a practice. Back home, art school also, but more on the side of scientific drawing. Sophie doing mainly printed maps. And me, designer. So we have a kind of a, we are clearly considered in the field of cartography as a clumsy group with a bizarre background and normally not able to get to work for institutions, let's say, or where cartography is considered as something where you should have a geomatic PhD or at least master. And so we start with small missions.
Experimentation.
Well, and experimentations, yes. So I don't know exactly what we have after. But we start... It's difficult to point out the exact starting moment, but something like a bit more than 10 years ago. And here it's to jump immediately. It's a picture from a group of activists working on the pollution in the somewhere near Houston. And we like this picture. It's a balloon also. It's tackle the one of the possible way to try to imagine feminist cartography, and one criteria that has been gathered by different researchers is the fact that the material conditions on how to make a map is important, and one possible way is to show the people making the map in the map, so to situate the map. So for us, when we meet around the SPA map world map questions, we We found out that it's important for to do the maps as much as possible. And speaking about extraction and maybe assets also, that the direction of the exchange could be, I don't know if it could, we could say balance, but at least there is a relationship and there is a, maybe something more than to do a screen capture of a Google Maps and to draw something on it, but with a very tiny amount of relationship. So so we start speaking about how to do it, and the long story cut short, you see a picture in the animation picture, donc, a map called coming from OpenStreetMap, which is the most, I don't know what slide we have after that, but which is the most
historical one.
Yes, the most huge collective cartographic project currently that provides different tools to be able to interact with, let's see.
Well, let's maybe add also the idea of the of a situated knowledge that also come with what you were doing in SWA, and that was also questioning the map. And so this what you saw in the video and in this picture, it's also a way of collecting data that may have a link also with here it's from the sky, but you are inside the territory walking in it. And so yes, that's also the way to investigate on how do you represent the territory if you need to walk in it. And maybe that's come to the issue of the representation of a map that needs to give you a direction because you need to orient it yourself.
Yes, this is a map like, you know the date? It's more than one century ago.
This is the map you show us when of the maps you show us where we wanted to just to zoom in to show the way they were representing the both the river but also the walks and how do you say it? the slopes
yes the slopes
is
yes.
This is a Sauvignac Brusbeck source, right hand corner.
There is the Lorraine source.
Sparren.
And yes, it's maybe one way to say that we are really interested in how to do maps. Mm-hmm. So we do maps. It's the best or the least awful way we found how to discover more about how to do maps and also making a living. And a map is a strange mix, quite rare mix of competition of space. So where, and here you have to imagine probably multiple person drawing it in layers and having to collaborate on things, even when it's simple maps like that. Because it's mainly surfaces, some lines with different thickness, some symbols, but here we see the symbols are really minimal, and some hand-drawn letters printed with on different layers, and these layers could have some competition of space, some overlap, but not too much. Some information should be there, some information could have been there, but are hidden for different reasons. Quite the range of to hide stuff on a map is really huge. Political reason, but also really design reason, because there is not enough space, etc. So it's always, of course fascinating, but also important to try to imagine the compromise of people doing this kind of non-perfect imagery.
Yeah, also because this has to be legible, and that come also to the point of toponymy in the maps, that you can see on this that sometimes it's you cannot. You see on the left side it's crossing all the time, so you cannot properly read it, and also it has to say that it was this kind of map was integrated in a guide or in a, together with a text or not, depending. But it was also working with a text that was not telling the work that you wanted to do, or even some view of the world, and that's the contemporary let's say evolution of this kind of map. That because this previous map was also done by an office, a touristic office, and today the. So that's how you tell us the story. Huh? that's the tool to make the world in SPA. So in a kind of commercial purpose of attracting tourists and not really, I don't know, not really investigate on how you feel the territory or how you leave the territory and you are inside it.
It's interesting to see that this official platform is sometimes and more using also OpenStreetMaps. It's exactly the same colors, the same background layer than the one from Seven Walks. And it has that project started like less than 20 years ago in London by a few artists considered for years as not even interesting for cartographers, has become the Wikipedia of cartography and is used by the biggest platform now and enter directly in competition with other cartography platforms. So with the obligation to have the copyright of all the millions of contributors of OpenStreetMap in every occurrence. So a bizarre trade-off between some extraction of a collective effort, but in the same time some attribution. And that project is always in some in this realm, in between these, with a lot of disputes, of course.
So here comes the Seven Walks map that raises actually some question also, because you come first discussing with Pierre the need of a map to orient yourself in and to document your walks in the territory of SPA. And then now, actually, your walk trace could be a question also, because you are more in a project of carving all kind of production you did, and so maybe even the trace, like the path of the walks, has not to be represented. So you come to another idea, another level of map. And this trace could even be put into a discussion.
Mm. And maybe you've seen it in a glimpse. This is a vector rendering of the map. So we've seen it composing quite quickly. But so it's immediately like a thick layers of... it's not the same order, it's levels, it's not levels of colors, it's levels of object. Every object is an asset. It's called a feature in GIS, or Geographic Information Systems, which are mainly databases. And what we see is an output of that database, but most of the data is hidden. Here there is no labels. We see the walls with some hesitation, some overlap in between different walls. I've never discussed with Jean, who was or is still, I don't know, in fact, an intern, how she drew exactly the walls. And it's a quite beautiful vibration that we see. There is some stops in the, because probably there is overlaps that we do not see here. We do not see in that output there is no labels, so the competition is low, but we see a great precision. We can even imagine that the thickness of the roads are not symbolic but are real thickness. I think it's not the case, but that the scale. So, yes, there is something beautiful and at the same time floating when you look at the map in the making like that. And when, like me, I don't know exactly, I can forensic a bit, but I don't know exactly how it has been made, even if we have this discussion before. This discussion end up. I think there is not enough budget for Atelier Cartographic to do it, and I think it's interesting because if the budget was there, maybe all that part would have been transferred to professionals, so we've made a kind of exchange of tools to learn to do it. And I think it's a quite interesting situation that there is lots of situations like that with Atelier Cartographic, kind of transfer of knowledge. And most of the tools are Libre software, so open source software. There's other levels of extraction there, but it's kind of balanced. And which is what is quite interesting in that case of software, most of the developer of this software has been paid by public money. And it's quite a rare case of one of the only I know of open source software that is paid by a curated collective money, let's say. So it's a place, because it's my wet finger in the wind, imaginary of it, it's because we share the territory, so there is a kind of a trend to collectively pay it and contribute to the description of it. But that hypothesis has some limitations.
But maybe also we can jump then in two examples also of the use of OpenStreetMap that we did to question also the representation of the background of OpenStreetMap. So I let you go.
Sorry.
So this is a printed map of Bruges-Letz, which is a municipality that, it's a background of OpenStreetMap, but has been reworked together with people from the place that were asked for a map, a touristic map, or
a practical, let's say, the map, the free map that you receive in Belgium from time to time when you are inhabitant of a commune. Most of the time it's quite ugly or beautiful, it depends on your taste, maps with a lot of advertising around. And it's paid by the advertising. And that commune, with a little push of some intercommunal, has decided to pay for a map done by the inhabitants and to not have advertising on it. So yes, we propose to do a workshop with the inhabitants and to begin to discuss that territory and to discuss the map and what is missing. So we decide, instead of using official data of the Walloon region, which is used by the commune, we use OpenStreetMap data after a few discussions, because there is trade-offs of using one. But the biggest feature of OSM, OpenStreetMap, is to be able for the inhabitant to inject new data. Because even when a land is not, there is not huge dispute in Brugelette, even if there is a Paridesa on that territory, and we see that the cartography of Paridesa is super intense. You can see every bench, it's called microcartography, because of OpenStreetMap is contributive. Of course, some mappers are more enthusiastic than others, and parks are heavily described on OSM. So when you do a map like that, it's a problem, because there's too much data on one place, and you have to style it, and the commune is in dispute with Paridesa, so they ask us to kind of hide a bit Paridesa. But we, by discussing with inhabitants, in this case, for example, we see that a huge problem in Brugelette is the lack of sidewalks, trottoirs. And sidewalks are difficult to describe in GIS, because in GIS, there is three objects mainly: points, lines, and surfaces. So how to describe sidewalks? Because sidewalks is the side of a line. So you divide the line. So yes, there is tags to say the right sidewalks, the left sidewalk. Of course, there's then the question of the direction. Both sidewalks, no. And in most countries, in Belgium, this is the practice, because in OSM, which is quite beautiful and problematic, and at start, it's the main reason why cartographers haven't considered the project, is that there is no standard. There is trends, there is description, there is a kind of politeness on how to do things, but you can invent. You can contribute, invent new tags, invent new ways to do it. By example, in the eastern of Europe, they decide to draw sidewalks. So you have parallel lines and the main lines, etc. So it's always these geek questions, but in the same time, conceptual question of what is to describe something.
Here the sidewalks.
Yes, here the sidewalks are the
purple. So you see when it's cut.
Yes.
And also the issue of toponymy, that the inhabitants rename some streets.
Yes. Because in it seems that in most Walloon places there is problem with names of streets. There is no, they are not so fixed as it looks, in fact. And so there is a lot of renaming when we were doing a workshop, and we were like, what? Yes, there is multiple name for that street and different. It was really off dispute of official names, and not just people fantasying. And you see that problem of collision is produced by the fact that we were wanting to provide a map that could be updated, automatically, by an automatic machine, because we were not sure to have budget for the next version of it. And the engine that do that kind of maps have bugs with labels. So we try to limit the bugs, but there is a few that we decide to assume, let's say, to go with.
So this was a print printed map project, but then the same issue of representing the background and to have a reflection, to lead a reflection on the way you, yes, on the graphic design of a map, can also be lead in a GIS or a digital map system.
Screen versions.
Yes, screen version.
And maybe here we have. So yeah. That map, some of you know me. Maybe it's quite classical Brussels maps, De Roeck maps. So in this project, so this is one from the 60s, where all text is composed by machine but placed by hand, where the collisions are completely dealt by humans. Even some text are the small streets are drawn by with the isograph, and so there is a kind of a comparison with this is our rendering of the map for the Baumeister 10 years ago, and we were struggling to have big text on it. So you see the difference with GIS. It's difficult to have bigger text than that. And here we worked on that stuff. It's clearly not yet resolved, and I think it's a research that will take dozens of years. It's a kind of an imagination of what we can do to automatize in a refined way collisions of text. So that's a part of, and this is a map that you know quite well. It's Google Maps, and the current rendering of it, because recently they add small icons and stuff like that, and you see a completely different way to see the what is important in the city. And if you zoom on it, maybe you can see the next. So that's the same map. Of course, it's burned by the beamer, but the same map at a different scale, where there is it begins to have all the simulation visualization that Google provides with building in 3D that start to appear and stuff like that.
Yes. And so coming from, to retrace the past, coming from the use of OSM in different maps project and to this representation of Google Maps that become more and more the way we all oriented yourself in the city or in wherever, in the territory, we have to be conscient of this recuperation of the data, let's say, by industry, big industry.
Platform economy. Yeah. Players. So yes, currently the main contributors of that of the platform are private owned company. The one that choose to use the data and to show that it's contributive. Also, there is no Google is not on it, by example, and other big players, but Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft, so the four others of the GAFA.
So you mean they are contributing to the open source OpenStreetMap?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. They are paying contributors to check, to compare. And here, it's...
And why is that?
Because they need it.
Maybe because open source map has become the main non-commercial competitor of Google Maps.
Yes, and it's clearly far more described on OSM than on Google Maps. Google Maps is quite clear. It's interested in mainly car navigation. OpenStreetMap has a dispute even on the name, because there's street on it. So is the role of OpenStreetMap to describe a social service somewhere, by example, or to describe risk of flooding, or to describe networks, underground networks of water. Some people in the community, it's bizarre to call millions of people a community, but it's a kind of community. Some people say yes, some people say no. There is street on it, in the name, etc. It's only a few, and we are small contributors of OSM, but we are even not members of a user group in Belgium, for example. So there is a lot of stuff that we don't know. It's a very fascinating to follow OSM mailing list, but there is.
But it also shows how the map as a tool can be a space for discussion, can be a space of interaction, of political and democratic debate, and that also this kind of story of the OSM community being fed by also the big industry. It's also something that reflects in Atelier Cartographique, and all because we are also doing so we are developing mapping. I don't know in English interface.
Yes, interface mapping interface for screen interface for official ministry of here the Bruxelles Environnement. So it's the platform that we have developed for. Environment, and here is a map of floods where there is precise data, but the ministry asks us to hide the precision of the data to try to avoid some part of the question of speculation. So there is multiple ways to do that. And there is also sometimes reason that you can consider as reasonable to do that also. Yes, so that's it's with these kind of partners. We have other works with other ministry in Brussels. These questions of resisting. Sometimes to hide some data, and sometimes resisting to show data, resisting to some extraction. It's a complex question because agendas are not always in the open. Agendas of the players are sometimes in the open, but in concurrency. And we know that we are in the field. We insist on design and on geography. We are seen at the start as technicians, and progressively, immediately when we start to work, we see that most of the work with this partner is social, in fact. It's to make people discussing between each other in the different services, in the different layers that are involved in doing maps. And it's also interesting to see how these political agendas relate heavily on aesthetics. There is lots of questions of people cleaning data, not for political reasons, but for aesthetic reasons. And there is a kind of interesting competitions on these levels of also. So it's to say where the technical begins, where the geography begins, where the sensible begins, it's kind of impossible. And I think that's also why we are so interested to making a living with that. It's because it's in that interface between many things. And coming with that submarine strategy of being technician for institution opens up to do things and to really intervene. And there is maybe problems with that, because we have, for us, the responsibility and the power that we have in hand is not completely balanced. It's too much, in fact, because of the lack of what is at stake by some of the partners. So it's clearly something that is...
But let's also say that, to come back to the open story...
Yes, we have to... I was looking...
But to come back to the open story, that this tool that has been developed for the institution is an open source tool, and so we also developed it for to provide the same tool, but for association, sociocultural project, and so on. So even if it's not the case today, there is a possibility of also making some layering of of information that would come from a project such as Seven Worlds, with some more sensitive and situated knowledge, together with some official data of the flood management, as we saw it here, for example.
I just have a quick look. Okay, we were nearly at the end.
Yeah, but we can conclude on this idea,
yes,
of you also, that this idea of the past could be a question. And so in our discussion, we came back to this idea of having a blank map.
That's a map.
Yes, that's a map to not show, I think. To not indicate, of art and language group. And yes, we are interested by that question of the volume of things. And a few years ago, and it's still ongoing, we started developing a platform called WAND, where instead of starting with a base map or a fond carte, we said in French, it starts with a blank canvas. But that canvas is georeferenced. So if you put georeferenced data on it, so these features that have attached topology, it will be it will start the map with projection and so on, because the map is a sphere that is represented. And here it's quite burned by the projector, but it's the traces of a small travel with a solar boat on the rivers of and canals of this is Willebroek, and where all the question of representing data that is data here, the picture that are elevation, so how to data that are linked to a point, and the scale where calculated by different criteria and overlap. It's the Buratinas from Nadine, the boat.
But that's also the way of maybe also to show a map with this opportunity of the blank, that you can show different point of view, and you inside the territory, so the pictures, and you and the structure of the rivers above. And this is also the kind of map you could do with WAND, although it has not been made in WAND, but
yes,
it could be.
That's what we will be working with, basically, right? This WAND
tool. Yeah.
We have to see. Yeah. We have to discuss now, really. There is different trade-offs, but possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a quite powerful platform, but you have to use code to interact with.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to you. So.